Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 533.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I have two wonderful guests, Marcella Cox and Leah DeWang. Marcella Cox, LMFT, is a therapist, author, and presenter who has devoted her career to exploring the intersection of embodiment, trauma healing, and eating disorder recovery. She's a level 3 certified IFS therapist, an approved IFS clinical consultant, and is a somatic IFS assistant trainer for Susan McConnell, the developer of somatic IFS. Marcella leads somatic IFS and IFS for disordered eating workshops, trainings, retreats, and groups for professionals, and she's committed to creating an inclusive and empowering environment where participants can explore the transformative potential of IFS and somatic IFS. Marcella is also founder and executive director of Kindful Body, providing online therapy and nutrition counseling for eating and body issues in California. And she's a co-founder of the IFS Consultation Collective, providing weekly consultation with IFS lead trainers. So Marcella is going to talk about IFS and somatic IFS and how she uses them together with listening therapies in her practice. Leah DeWang is an SEP, Somatic Experiencing Practitioner, and a Relationship Restoration Guide. She offers a consilient approach to clearing the way for love to couples and individuals so they may connect with themselves, others, nature, and spirit. In her practice, Clear the Way, she engages a tapestry of healing woven from the Safe and Sound Protocol, Relational Life Therapy, Somatic Experiencing, IFS, and interpersonal neurobiology. And Leah works at Unite, which is the company that provides the listening protocol that people use in Safe and Sound, where she serves to cultivate an ecosystem of partnerships, envisioning all members of the healing community linking arms in love and transforming the world. And Leah talks about how she uses somatics and listening therapies, as well as IFS and parts work in her practice. And we all talked about how we integrate somatics, sound, movement. And I thought it was a really interesting conversation. So I hope you will be inspired as well, whether you're a clinician or you're someone who's looking for a type of therapy to really help you reach the places in yourself that you haven't been able to access up until now. I'm hoping that the conversations that we've been having recently on Therapy Chat about different ways to integrate various methods and modalities are giving you something to consider, whether you are looking for healing for yourself or new ways to facilitate healing in the people that you work with if you are a helping professional. And for anyone who is searching for trauma therapy, remember, Trauma Therapist Network has a searchable directory where you can find more than 150 therapists listed. It's a curated list of therapists who specialize in trauma and attachment using a variety of integrative approaches. And you can find that at findtraumatherapy.com. Thank you, as always, for listening to Therapy Chat. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so honored to have two very special guests, Marcella Cox and Leah DeWang. Marcella and Leah, thank you so much for being my guests today on Therapy Chat.
My pleasure. It's our pleasure. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to be talking to you on Therapy Chat. The last time I saw both of you, we were in DC having a good time at a speakeasy after the Psychotherapy Networker one night. And it was really cool to get to know you a little bit more, Marcella. I've known Leah a little bit longer. I know I've known both of you sort of tangentially for a while, though. And now we get to talk about what we do together. So what we're going to be talking about today is integrating listening therapies with somatics and IFS. So this conversation, I think, is pretty much on the cutting edge of what a lot of people are beginning to learn about and bring into their practices. And so I think whether you're a clinician or someone who's in therapy or considering therapy, this will be really, this might open your mind up to some new ideas. So before we get into talking about those things, though, I would like to invite you each just to tell our listeners a little more about who you are and what you do. And whoever wants can go first.
I'll jump in. My name is Leah DeWang, and I serve clients as a relationship restoration guide. So I'm a somatic experiencing practitioner and use relational life therapy, along with IFS and parts work and interpersonal neurobiology, with this overarching knowing that every single person, every single being is designed to receive love. And if we aren't doing that naturally, there's a reason. And so you're getting really curious with folks and their experiences and using the Safe and Sound protocol along with other listening therapies in that context. I also have the sincere pleasure of cultivating partnerships on behalf of Unite Health. And so I'm in that world as well and glad to be here with you both.
So glad you're here. Thank you, Leah.
That's so beautiful, Leah. I love what you said about love and looking at the places where we're not loving. Yeah, that was so touched to hear that. My name is Marcella Cox, and I am an IFS therapist, but I'm also an assistant trainer for somatic IFS. And it's a modality that really blends somatic therapy with IFS. And we can talk a little bit more about that during the podcast. And I also have a group practice here in California, Kindful Body. And we support people who struggle with their relationship with food and their bodies. So we provide nutrition counseling and online therapy. And we practice IFS and somatic IFS and some other modalities as well, like EMDR. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here today.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you're here too. And so I met you, Leah, I think it was in 2023 at the Master's Series Conference in Oxford. And I wasn't trained in Safe and Sound Protocol then or Rest and Restore Protocol, which is SSP and RRP. And as you know, since then, I've become a huge fan of this type of work, experiencing it myself through the groups that I was in and have been in with Paula Scatoloni, whom you know, and she's an SEP and did participate with creating the integrative combined delivery guidelines for the listening therapies with somatics. And then Marcella, you and I also were in Paula's programs together and kind of had some overlap there. So that's where we first got to know of each other. And I didn't really know that you were one of the trainers in Somatic IFS at that time, but I have the book Somatic IFS on my, or in Somatic Internal Family Systems on my bookshelf. And I've always wondered, should I train in that? Because I'm a somatic therapist and I use IFS in parts work, and I've never done a level one with IFS. It's so hard to get into. But then I was like, well, I am already using IFS and parts work somatically, so I'm not really sure why would I get trained in that. So naturally, the next question that I have is, will you tell us a little bit about the difference between those two methods, IFS and somatic IFS, just to have our listeners be clear as we start?
I'd be happy to. So IFS is was developed by Dick Schwartz about 40 years ago, and what he discovered in listening to his clients was his clients were talking about parts of themselves, and these parts tended to have a protective nature, and there are also parts of ourselves that get wounded and hold burdens, and these parts aren't their burdens, there aren't their wounds, but they hold on to them, and they get exiled for the whole system's safety, for a person's safety, they get exiled. And what he found is that we all have a core essence of who we are that's wise and compassionate and loving. You know, to bring in what Leah said, is like, oh, why aren't we more loving, right? And the reason is that we have these protective parts that block our hearts sometimes. And so what he found is we all have this core essence of our self-energy, which is really the healing agent for each of us to work with our system of parts and help those ones that have been exiled to heal their burdens so they can be restored within a person's system. And so that's a little bit about IFS model. I mean, I'm just giving some broad brushstrokes here. And somatic IFS builds upon IFS in that. So it was developed by Susan McConnell, who was with Dick in the early days. She was a lead trainer since 97, so for quite some time. And she was trained in Hakomi. She's also a body worker, cranial sacral therapist. So she always brought in the body. And IFS also brings in the body, right? We find parts in or around our body, or when we're unburdening, right? Where do you find that energy in your body, and can you release it? So it's always brought in the body. And what Susan has done that's different is she's combined IFS with these five somatic practices. And so we bring in the body with these practices into each step of the model. And so we're still doing IFS, but you know, sometimes parts only show up somatically and we can only connect with them somatically. They don't have words. We're not having a dialogue with them. They're not telling us how they're necessarily protecting us, but we can still relate to them, because at the heart of it, IFS is a relationship building model, in that we're building a relationship between the parts of ourselves and our self energy. And if a client doesn't have a lot of self energy on board, we lend them our self energy as their therapist or their practitioner. And so we're then, how do I feel towards my client's part? And we're doing IFS from that frame.
Thank you for that description. It's really helpful just to realize what we're talking about. When we talk about somatic IFS, we're not just talking about IFS. It's a different method, but they are related.
That's right. That's right. It's still doing IFS, and we're using these somatic practices, like in the six Fs. Of finding a part, focusing on it, fleshing it out, blah, 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 right? So we might be using somatic awareness, or we might be using breath. The other practices are resonance, right? And I know in somatic experiencing as well, you know, this resonance of like when, and Dan Siegel talks about resonance as well. And Leah, you mentioned interpersonal neurobiology, but when we're resonating with our client's part, or their self energy is resonating with a part, it feels like it's feeling felt and like you get it. And then there's trust and safety that is built. And it, you know, we can't do anything without trust and safety. So resonance is another big practice. And then movement and touch. So those are the five somatic practices. And I think all those practices are also in somatic experiencing. But what we're doing is we're bringing them into the IFS model. Susan also trained in sensory motor psychotherapy as well.
That makes me the trifecta because I'm trained in that. Thank you so much. That's really, really helpful. And just to like make sure that we're like defining terms, you know, on we're all hearing things and understanding them through the same lens. So I also wanted to ask if you would each talk about how you use listening therapies with your clients. Maybe you talk about listening therapies and with parts work, or maybe just kind of describing how you use them. I think that in itself is just really interesting to hear for people.
I'm wondering if a brief definition of what listening therapies are, even before we go into how
it's a great idea. Yes. Thank you.
And it's, I say that in part because they are an emerging category of modality, of tool that folks can use with their clients. But if you just say listening therapies, it's not yet a house. It will be, and not yet a household name like somatics or parts work. Listening therapies are a clinical grade sound-based intervention. So it's using sound in a clinical way, using specific sound qualities alongside a therapeutic or connective process to help someone's nervous system shift out of a state of defense or chronic protection and into a state of greater flexibility. And they really lay the groundwork for deeper therapeutic process. And that is a lot of words. How I describe them to my clients is that you're going to listen to this music. The Safe and Sound protocol is an example of a listening therapy. The Rest and Restore protocol is a listening an example. You're going to listen to some of this music, and it's going to help your system do this. And when I say that to my clients, they go, really? But that's just the definition of what are we talking about when we talk about listening therapies.
Thank you for that. That was definitely a huge omission. And as you were saying that we needed a definition, I thought, yeah, because there's sound healing and that is a thing, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. And these listening therapies can be a form of sound healing, but it might not be what people think of when they hear sound healing.
And maybe just to splice those apart, music, listening to music, general music can be very supportive for a nervous system, for someone's process, and it have no clinical grade filtration or adjustments to it. And then sound therapy or sound healing, rather, something like singing bowls or other forms of sound healing, still very impactful, and there's lots and lots of beautiful evidence around sound healing. But the difference between it and listening therapies is that listening therapies have been put through particular algorithms that take someone's nervous system on a journey through filtration and other mechanisms to change the actual music quality with a particular clinical or therapeutic outcome in mind.
Well, thank you. And since you said that, can you talk about what the outcomes would be with Safe and Sound or with RRP?
Totally.
If you feel.
Well, Marcella, do you want to speak that, or would you want me to?
Why don't you go ahead and speak to the outcomes? Yeah.
So for Safe and Sound Protocol and SSP, it was designed and created by Dr. Stephen Porges, so developer of polyvagal theory. And the outcomes, SSP focuses on the ventral vagal system of the nervous system. So above the diaphragm, and the social engagement system, and outcomes that have been researched, and I'm going to split these two apart, outcomes that have been researched include greater social engagement, physiological social engagement, so eye contact, greater melodic porosity in your voice, different social engagement cues, like kiddos. I'm thinking of a case study that we have where a kiddo does not or did not like hug their parents or weren't able to make eye contact with their parents, and then going through the SSP, right, all of these social engagement factors came online to where they're now socially engaging with their parents and giving hugs and making eye contact. So bringing from a place of a disengaged or protective system into an engaged and available safe system. And then rest and restore protocol is primarily engaging and giving therapeutic support to subdiaphragmatic, part of the subdiaphragmatic nervous system. So your dorsal vagal complex, and it is focused on restoring and a deep, deep meditative restorative experience. So working on digestion, sleep, and all of these, really a valence of healing that comes with the dorsal vagal system that's often missed, even in the ways that we might talk about dorsal and dorsal shutdown. It's saying, oh no, in that place, when there is safety there, it can be incredibly meditative and incredibly restorative. So the music aims to elicit that natural process.
Thank you. So just for those who are listening, the Rest and Restore protocol is newer. And so Safe and Sound has been out there for what, 10 Since, years?
Yeah, long time, almost 10.
Yeah. And RRP is newer on the scene and still being studied, you know, as it's being delivered, how people respond to it. And I know with Safe and Sound, I mean, it grew and changed so much as it was being studied while being implemented. So can't wait to see what happens with Rest and Restore too. And I'm excited to get started using that with clients too. So thank you for the explanation. And maybe we'll let Marcella talk first about how you use listening therapies in your practice, then come back to Leah and you can share how you use this as well. And I'm kind of just curious about, like, you know, who are you doing it with? How is it being done? You know, how are you delivering it? What are people wanting it for? What are people finding, you know? Because it's like everybody wants to know about this. And it's so varied from person to person what it feels like and how it impacts people, even though there's similarities. So
I'll start off by saying, you know, Lee and I got together and writing a guideline on how to integrate these listening therapies, the SSP, the RRP, with IFS and somatic IFS. And so over a 9-month period, we got to know each other pretty well. There were also these contributors who helped with the guideline. And so in putting together the guideline, how I might use it might be different than how some of the other contributors are using it. So I'll just name that there are a variety of ways that people integrate these listening therapies with IFS in particular. And some folks, they have it as a part of the session, each session, and then they will work with the parts that show up in the session. I tend to do a couple of listening sessions, 2 or 3 listening sessions during a session, and because it's what's important, and I think it's also part of how this protocol was designed. It was designed to be given with a provider, and a provider who can be tracking someone's nervous system, be tracking for cues that it might be too much, and to help them integrate what's happening as they listen. And so often I'll have 2 or 3 listening sessions with my client, and then they'll do some independent listening, And but they're told to have some co-regulatory presence with them, whether it's nature or a pet or a loved one nearby. And then they do some journaling, and then they bring that into our session of what has come up for them through the listening. And I also run groups with IFS therapists. And what's really nice about the groups and listening is we're using the SSP. And because the SSP is really, you know, about social engagement and connection, right? To be able to connect with a group of other therapists and share what comes up for you. And so in those groups, what I do is I'll do a somatic IFS meditation to start with. And this might be a way that you might want to work with your parts using one of the five practices of somatic IFS. And then they go off and do some listening. We then check in after they've done some listening. Then they listen again. We check in again. And what's so remarkable, I've seen like some incredible things happen, which just keeps me so excited about this work. There is one in particular, one participant in a group, and she allowed me to share this. But she had a very narcissistic father. And as she started listening to the SSP, what she was with her father, and her father started doing the thing that really upset her. And her nervous system would have her leave, right? Her nervous system, I'm the flight, I'm out of here. This is my boundary. I'm not going to put up with this. But what happened was her father was doing the thing, and she could just, her heart opened, and she could see how he was really struggling. And so she stayed. And she not only stayed, but then she gave him a hug because she could see how he was struggling. Like, she had more self-energy on board. And he initially pushed her away, but she just hugged him. And then he fell, you know, more into her arms. And it was just such a sweet connection that they were able to have because of that, that she could stay and be with him and not have to have him change, but he did, as she could stay with him. And what just gets me each time I think about this is a couple months later, he passed away, and she was able to have a sweet connection with her father, which wouldn't have been possible otherwise. And she attributed it to the SSP and to IFS, somatic IFS. And she's now a provider for Unite, because she's like, wow, you know, to have that major of a shift in how you're relating to someone else is just huge, right? That your nervous system can have that much of a opening to someone who, you know, has really harmed you, right?
Yeah.
That your wise, loving, compassionate self could be there.
That's really beautiful.
Often, yeah.
Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
That's just such an example of how, you know, we we go to therapy and we're like, my mom's a narcissist, my dad's a blah, blah. And, you know, we rail against them and rail against them. And eventually we come around and go, okay, well, what can I change? I can change what's in me. But it's the interplay between the two. You know, it's, I'm not excusing someone harming someone else. One person has more power than the other. But for someone who wants to be in relationship with their parent and they're doing something that they can't stop doing because they have to do that to protect themselves from their parent, with that's her needing to flee. And then, you know, whatever spirals from that, he does this, she does that, then he does this, and then their relationship does this. She doesn't have to think about it differently. She doesn't have to forgive. She doesn't have to do anything. Her nervous system is able to tolerate more. And then the love that she has and the desire for connection is there. And then she goes toward him. And then when he starts to push her away, she could have then fled. But because she's got more capacity than he does at the time, then his heart opens up, his system. He didn't do SSP. So, you know, that's how our two nervous systems, the co-regulation, hers being more regulated and then his became more regulated, and then they could connect. That's like really beautiful.
Isn't it powerful? Right. That doesn't Deb Dana say, like, anytime two people are having a conversation, their nervous systems are having a conversation? Yeah. It's a beautiful example of that.
And even with regular IFS, it's like the idea, like my part and their part are in conflict right now. That still can be kind of a heady thing. And when your nervous system's reacting, it can be really hard to unblend. But what I love about SSP specifically, I haven't experimented as much with RRP yet, but what I love about SSP is, like, I've been telling some clients, it helps you kind of shift something that you don't even consciously do. And then when that shifts, you just begin to notice a different capacity, a different relationship to experiences. And it's very hard to grasp that before you experience it yourself. But when you do, you know, it's like, oh, I noticed I was... Normally, I would have said this or done that when you did this. And for some reason, I didn't do that, or I did something else, or I had the space to notice what I was going to do and pause before doing it. It's like, yeah, I like to say it kind of helps us get out of our own way to being able to express what we need, you know, set boundaries, say no, things like that, that are our defenses have prevented us from doing because of past experiences where we couldn't. We can't just like talk ourselves out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And from an IFS lens, right, that there's likely more self-energy that's available, right? It's always there, but the parts that are blocking the self-energy have given a little bit more space. So there's a different perspective, right? I see my father differently. I see that he's actually struggling, right? It's not just my parts about me and my struggle, right? But I can see another person and their struggle. And it doesn't discount my own parts, right? I can be with my own system and give them the care that they need, but I can see another. And then there's a trainer in the world of IFS, C. Sykes. And she said, I think the ninth scene should be choice, right? It's not necessarily a quality of self-energy, but the capacity for choice. We have the capacity to make a different choice when we have more self-energy on board.
Yeah,
I'm
like that.
I'm so excited. I can flip my table right now.
Yeah, feels good. So tell us about your excitement.
Oh, I just fully believe that sound is going to change the world. Not as it's like, oh, this is a, you know, whatever, silver bullet or anything, but I see it as like the fascia across all of these ways of knowing. You know, when I think of listening therapies, and specifically the SSP, it changed my life. Like, radically, I'm a different person than I was. And walking with my best friend a couple of weeks after I did the SSP, she was walking, we were walking, she just stopped. She looked at me. She said, "You just seem like you feel really safe." And she is not in this world. She doesn't use words like safe. And I looked at her and went, "I do. I do feel really safe." And so when you're describing, Laura, like, oh, it's just this emergent property. It does. It emerges. It is implicit in the way that it is impacting our systems. And so it's not a conscious thing up here, and though it might bubble up there and make meaning in our conscious minds, but is happening so far below. And I describe it to my clients as, you know, this is a tool for like hard to reach places. Like the, like a back scratcher where you're like, I don't know, there's just something. And I don't know what it is, but I know there's something. And I'm like, oh, it's like, try on some music. And we'll interweave all these other ways of knowing somatics and relating to your parts and building relationship. But let's take the back door in. It's like go into the basement and impact down here so that we can use listening therapies as like a, I told this to Marcella at the very beginning. You remember this, Marcella? I was like, I see listening therapies as a reminder. Like we're pouring this reminder into your nervous system saying, hey, do you remember? Do you remember that the safety is like the, do you can be this safe?
Yes.
Yeah.
So beautiful, Leah.
Yeah.
I think you actually coined a term which I just loved, which was frequency of self.
Mm.
Right? That really, in a way, when you're listening to the SSP, right, there's that self energy. Almost the mother's coo.
Yeah.
Is coming into your nervous system. Right. And of course then something shifts and changes because of that.
And how parts naturally respond to that, just like a kiddo would. Right. And not always just melting into you. And some parts, I remember a client, we had just put on the headphones and she listened to maybe 5 seconds and immediately a part came up and she felt so much emotion and we paused and she said, I don't think I can do this. Because the tenderness of even that little cue of safety and the lyrics, because everything is connected, the lyrics was, everything is great, everything is grand. And in her system said, oh, that feels so incongruent with what I'm experiencing in here. And it offered us this moment for us to come into a space and her be with her partner that says, it's okay if you don't want to. You get to say no. And so there's just so much available and like ruffles up so much that you can be with. And she didn't have to do anything. She just got to be there, let a little music in, and then her system started to respond.
So just to clarify there, would you say that the part that came up was the, I don't know if I can do this or I can't do this? And then you pause the music and she was with the part and you worked with the part together. And then would that be... Then did she listen more or was that it for the day? Or, I mean, this is like a technical question, but I think some people who are using SSP would be like, what did you do?
Totally. I mean, in that, with that specific person, this was a number of years ago. This part came up, we paused the music and then invited her to be with this aspect of her who said, I don't know if I can do this, and flushed out and just sat with the concern. Like, what would it mean? What does it mean if you can't do it? What does it mean if you still try? What is it? How does this part orient around all these different possibilities? And what I remember from it was we actually sat with the part for not very long until it felt that it was heard. And after it was heard, it was like, okay, let's go on.
Oh, perfect.
You know? And so this is like, and Marcella, I'm so curious what you, I'm sure you experience that often where parts might come up and they might not have come up otherwise, but it's mm-hmm. not, it's never a barrier. It's always an invitation.
It's never a problem. Parts aren't problems, right? And when they come up, it's an invitation to get to know them. Yeah. And I think, Leah, you're speaking to also something that we included in the guideline, which is to check in with parts around doing the listening, right? Parts that are hopeful that something is going to change, who have an agenda that something might change, parts that are skeptical, parts that don't know, right? Parts that are ambivalent. And spending some time with those parts and getting to know those parts, and also really giving some psychoeducation on what this may do and may not do, right? We don't know. We don't know how someone's nervous system is going to respond. And so we're kind of walking into the unknown together. And are there parts on board with that of what might, how the nervous system might respond, and what parts might come up? I would say I was doing just a little demo of this with a colleague, because she was also doing a podcast on it. And she told me it's fine for me to share this as well. But what happened for her is she listened just for a few minutes. And then these parts, you know, I think I had her listen for 5 minutes. And these parts showed up of like how they protect her. Her protectors, like, oh, it's either I'm getting out of here, I'm really busy, I gotta go. And then there was this one that was kind of like in a more collapsed cement, right? And so she had both kind of sides of the nervous system getting activated in a way. And so we worked with the parts, and we did some somatic IFS, and she got to know those parts. So just a very little bit of listening can elicit so much in a client.
Mm-hmm. This is so interesting, because I do use IFS and parts work, but I haven't used it with the listening this way. I use more just a somatic approach, and, you know, like whatever resourcing I would do using somatics. But I think it's because, for one, I don't just use straight IFS or parts work with everyone in every session. It's depending on what's coming up. But it's interesting to me, because I guess I'm thinking about it right now, like in my work with Paula and the way she did it, we were kind of, you know, it was like reconnecting with your inner child, but it wasn't just one child, you know, it's like all different parts. And when stuff would come up for me, it wasn't as much, oh, there's a part of me here, this, there's a part of me that. Like, I think for me, it was more, I would feel emotion, I would remember something. So, you know, I could say that if I'm remembering, if I'm having a memory, well, it could be that that part is here. But I wasn't necessarily like, I guess I'm thinking about my own experience and clients that, and it's probably because of the way I practice, but for many of them, they're not necessarily having a lot of different parts showing up. Be like, I don't know. It was weird. I was in a field and there were, you know, let's say dragons or dinosaurs, or, I mean, it's really different for everyone. They'll be like, I was in medieval times and I saw, you know, and whatever comes is like, just we're open to it. But sometimes people will be like, I smell my mom's molasses cookies baking, you know? So a lot of visuals or sensory experiences, but not as much like the really solid.
Can I speak into that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I feel like there are many planes to work on with, especially with listening therapies, because of what you're naming. I'm remembering I am done with the SSP with Paula a couple of times. And one of the times, I was sitting there and I just like, I have the strongest desire to suck my thumb right now. Like I wanted to suck my thumb so badly. And it is interesting in that when we were experiencing that, she had me just notice it, right? And just be with it as a somatic sensation. And it's a choice point, right? And that is one choice, or when these images are coming up, or someone is experiencing a way of experiencing through a various channel, you can leave it in that realm. I think what IFS brings, and somatic bias IFS specifically brings, is this, like, you can like double click into something and right, all of these things kind of fall out of it. And whether or not someone does that while they're listening, like the music is still continuing, or you pause and you go into one avenue or one channel, I feel there's, I think what the unique opportunity that listening therapies brings that wouldn't maybe otherwise be there is the implicit nature of it. Like that client with the dragons in the medieval times,
right.
Would that have come up had we not engaged the implicit nature of the nervous system? Who knows?
Right. Well, and you know, and it's like normal life, headphones on, medieval village. Headphones off, normal life. Headphones on, medieval villain. Okay. Like, you know, that's cool. Let's just be curious. But it's what's formulating in my mind is that whatever is coming up for clients when they're listening, even if we're not working with it as parts work in the moment while they're listening, when they come back or when we process the next time or whatever, we can explore. So I'm just thinking about ways that I can help people to kind of somehow gather up what those experiences are so that they can, you know, begin to think about them as parts if that is something that they resonate with.
That's right. It's really, really the lens with which you're seeing what's happening. And there might even be parts, Laura, as you're, you know, saying, oh, put the headphones on. I'm in this medieval time. And there might, taking the headphones off, there might be parts that are reacting to this. Like, what is going on? You know, confused by it.
Yeah.
Or, right. You might want to be doing some parts work around or scared by it. Right.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Trying to make meaning of it. And I love what you were saying, Leah, about like double clicking, right? We can do that with somatic IFS. Like it doesn't have to stay just in this, you know, we can stay with it just as a sensation or an impulse, right? An impulse to suck your thumb. But might there be some relationship we can have with the one who wants to suck their thumb? And can they feel you aware of them? Like they're not alone. And but once again, right, bringing in that relationship, bringing in this, there's enough safety to connect.
I'm, this is not to do with listening therapies, but my guide, I had a really, it's just like a kind of a dark dream. It was a dark dream. And I brought it to her and I was just like, I had this dream. And her question felt like it came out of left field for my system, but it led to somewhere so healing and profound. And that she asked me, I wonder if you were to go inside and ask the part what they wanted you to get from that dream. And I all of a sudden was like, oh, this is a part giving me a message, or this is a part speaking to me. And just that tweak in the image, or like the lens or the perspective of looking at this thing, led to a massive unburdening of an unattached burden. And I would have never done that had she not said, I wonder what a part in you wants you to know from that. And so when you're saying, Marcelo, the relationship, I'm freaking out because I'm like, all of these things, we are in relationship with them. They're coming to us, whether the medieval imagery or the feeling of sucking your thumb or all these other components. The relationship exists because they're in our awareness, but are we aware of the relationship between us and it? And becoming explicitly aware of like, oh, wait, this is like not just in my awareness, but I'm related to it in some way. And how might I get curious about that? And what does it have to give me? Or what do I have to give it? What is this experience here that unfolds so much healing because of the principle of relationality, that we're not just an individual isolated island as it relates to other beings, like physical beings like y'all and me, but also us in us. We're a fractal.
What is it? The ocean and the drop and the ocean?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Relationship is healing.
And there might be so much more to be in relationship with. And when we use these side doors to come in below our conscious of what we're already conscious that we are in relationship with, there's so much more to come into coherence and love with, and to bring into alignment with that which is already true about us.
That's beautiful, Leah.
Just let that linger for a moment. Oh, this is inspiring and exciting. I know we're at the end of our time. I just want to check if there's anything that we wanted to get to that we didn't mention before we wrap up.
Can I just speak for something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just putting my mind in the mind of someone who might be listening to this who uses IFS. And I think my invitation to you would be a very practical IFS lens, something like somatic of IFS and listening therapies and sort of integrating these other ways of knowing. One, we're not trying to do anything to the parts. We're not trying to get them anywhere. And that's been sort of a misnomer that we debunked in the guidelines. So just want to name that here for anyone who's coming from an IFS lens. And then also where this could be maybe particularly useful, and Marcella, you can speak into this more if you'd like, but when there are severe polarities in a system, this can be a really helpful way to ease up some of those polarities, or a system that's particularly stuck and blended with a particular part. This might be a secret key, like a secret option C to bring into the system, into the dynamic, and see what might happen. But Marcel, I'm thinking any other ways that an IFS practitioner might be going, well, how is this useful to me? Like what challenges might this support?
Yeah, I'm happy to flow in here and add a little bit more. I would say, you know, anytime, well, any of us, like not even an IFS lens, right? If we're told, calm down, what happens?
You don't let that.
And so parts are the same, right? If we're saying, oh, we're going to, you know, listen to this, your system's going to calm down. Like parts are like, no way. You're trying to take away my protective role, and I'm going to dig in. And so it's really important to really help clients know that that's not what we're doing. We're helping your nervous system become more flexible, so more self-energy can be here, so you can be in relationship to this protector, so you can really get, right? That we're not trying to change any parts. We're not trying to bypass anything at all here. It's more you can be available to be with these parts of yourself and get to know them. So that's the first thing. The second thing, Leah, you were saying it was about polarities and stuck points. And so often in IFS, you know, we know this about a polarity is often they have like kind of equal energy, right? And there's a stuckness, and that what can emerge is a third anxiety, right? Around how do I fix this? What do I do? Which side is going to make the choice? And what listening therapies do is it helps, you know, more self-energy once again to come on board, because the listening therapies, this is the way I'm holding it, and maybe it's right, maybe it's not, but that there's more ventral vagal activation online, and from that place, more self-energy can emerge from some ventral vagal activation. And so then we can be with both sides of the polarity. We can get to know both sides, and ideally both sides of the polarity can get to know you. And what would they need from you in order for you to make that choice or make a decision? Or, yeah, what, because each side of the polarity, right, each, they hold some wisdom for you. Parts aren't bad, right? They have a reason for doing what they do or believing what they believe. And it's important that we're listening to our parts so we can be self-led in our decisions and the way we show up in life.
I love it. Thank you. That's so useful. And I mean, it's all just so fascinating and so curious. And it's, I love the options that are available. I probably have a lot more things I could ask, but I shouldn't, just for time. But there's one quick thing I want to ask. I believe I already know the answer, but for people who are listening, this is about somatic IFS and regular IFS. Do people have to be trained in regular IFS officially to do somatic IFS training?
For the current training, yes. However, we're working on a somatic IFS informed training that will be out. Yeah. Leah's eyes got wide. You're probably not watching this, but our eyes got wide. Yes, that is in the works right now.
Okay. I'm glad I asked because I thought I knew the answer and I thought it would be completely separate, but I'm glad to know that I was wrong, but that there is a way for those of us who have never gotten that golden ticket to sign up for the level one. And I know they're making it more accessible, but it's not easy. So for those who would like to get trained in somatic IFS informed therapy, it's coming.
They can sign up for my newsletter on my website, kindfulbody.com. If they want more information, I'll put out some information about it when it's available.
Okay.
Susan McConnell also has a website. She puts out her newsletter as well. So I think hers is embodiedself.net is her website.
And that if someone wants to learn more about the guidelines and bringing them two modalities together, IFS and somatic IFS, somatic IFS and listening therapies, there's an excerpt on the Unite website that they can have for free just to get a feeling and get a felt sense of, is this something that is interesting enough for me to pursue further? So that excerpt is on the Unite website. And I think, Laura, I sent that link to you for the show notes.
Yes. And I'll include Susan's website, yours, Marcella, and the Unite link to that excerpt on, I'll include that all in the show notes. And this is a very quick question for both of you, I guess. Do you consider it a contraindication if someone has either an auditory processing issue or hearing issue to be able to do the listening therapies?
Leah, did you want to answer that?
Leah must have frozen.
Leah's frozen. I guess it's me.
I've worked with some folks who have tinnitus, and we proceeded with caution. And it was never, actually their tinnitus decreased as a result of doing the listening therapy. I haven't worked with anyone with auditory processing, but a colleague of mine who has some hearing loss, she is actually doing the SSP and not with me, with someone else. So I guess it's being done. But that's a good question.
Do you know if like people with hearing aids can use it?
She does have a hearing aid. I don't know if she takes them out. I can ask her more.
I would be curious because there's a few people who I'd like to invite to do it, and whether they have like a whooshing sound in their ear or they suspect they might have an auditory processing difference or they have hearing aids. I just wasn't sure where that fits or how it works together if it does. So I can probably check with, I'll follow up with Leah since we lost
her. That would be a good idea. I could imagine with auditory processing, because they've used it with a lot of kids, that's probably been researched, or there might be some more on that as well.
Certainly many kids with autism have auditory processing challenges, and that's how it was first. Yeah. So that's good to think about. Okay. Thank you. So we lost Leah and we've still got you. So I'm going to go ahead and thank you, and I'll have to thank her directly. But thank you so much for being here on Therapy Chat today. This was a really beautiful conversation and I loved it. And I'm so grateful to both you and Leah for sharing your time so generously and also going over what I said timing wise too. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for inviting us to be a part of the podcast. It was a delight to have this conversation with you and Leah and do a deeper dive into this. And it was a lot of fun, right? For the three of us to be on together. And
I think it's fun to do it as more than just one-on-one. It makes it a little different, more interesting. Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts, 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.